His behavior in crisis, we will see, proved him to be legitimate. A lot of people talk about Christ, a lot of people say a lot of stuff about Jesus, but it is your behavior that will prove if you really are the real deal or not. It'll eventually show. Paul and Timothy emulated the chief shepherd. They had concern for the sheep.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone comment from Juan in Wisconsin. He says, I really like his teaching. Keep up the good work. You have been very helpful. Keep pressing on in the faith, and God bless you. Well, Juan, thank you so much for your encouraging words, and it is so great to hear that God is using his word, and pray for us that we would continue to trust the Lord wholeheartedly and that he would bless this ministry. Thank you again.
Greg, today we complete our look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. So would you give us a preview of what we'll see?
Absolutely, Dave. As we finish verse 1, we're going to be looking at Timothy and what an example he is for us. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read this for you. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul, an apostle, was by the will of God. One pastor writes, Paul didn't take a career test to see if he's a good fit, to see if he'd make a good apostle. God made an apostle purely by his sovereign choice. And there he was, marching on to Damascus to kill Christians. And before you know it, he's preaching Christ. God turned him into an apostle. God sent Ananias to get, the good Ananias, by the way, to give him his marching orders. You're a chosen instrument to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles, King of the Jews. And that's exactly what Paul spent the rest of his days doing. Chosen instrument. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was appointed by the will of God as an apostle. And by the way, God has appointed you in some spiritual sense as some gifting by his will, whether it's a servant, whether gifting it is, whatever it might be, whether it's one who speaks his word. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Remember that. That's not from God. That's from your flesh or from Satan or from the world. But of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join me, Paul speaking to Timothy, in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace in which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen, right? For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. The Lord Jesus chose him, and by the will of God that he was and an apostle. If we look at Paul's life in the scriptures, from the day he was saved, everything revolved around Christ and what God had called him to do. When we get saved, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He begins that process of sanctifying us. We've got to realize that's part of his plan. And he also gifts us to serve him. And Paul understood how so. You may not understand how, so we can go through spiritual gifts, but first of all, get in the Word and see what they are, and secondly, just be around the body of Christ, and God will give you a natural inclination to start acting in the context of the gifting that he's given you. So the Apostle Paul, by his grace, he would say even in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that by the grace of God, he is what he is. He was not fit to be called an apostle, he was the least of the apostles, but he was what he was by the grace of God. You see, each of us have received a special gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift employed in serving one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Very clearly, the Apostle Paul knew what he was called to do. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Do you know what God has called you to do? Do you know what he's gifted you to do? Are you living in context of how he's gifted you? Do you desire to know what God has called you to do? You know, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you go to the Lord, Lord, I want to serve in the way you've gifted me, please reveal that to me. He's going to answer that prayer. Just don't let sin get in the way because you won't hear the answer, right? Follow the Lord, walk with him. He's going to answer that prayer. He's going to show you through his word the context of his people. Paul fully understood his gifting and calling. Well, back in our passage, look at the greeting here. We can learn from that, right? We can learn. What do we need? We need to understand what God has called us for, right? Very helpful. Secondly, we need to understand and look at the example of Timothy of how that was fleshed out in real life. How does it look in real life when we know what we're supposed to be doing? What does it look like when we're serving Christ? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Here we see it is not just Paul greeting the Colossians, but we see it as Paul and Timothy, he says, our brother. Now we need to be careful not to ascribe the writing of this epistle or letter to Timothy. Indeed, later on, Paul will use the first person, and in chapter 4, verse 16, he calls it my letter. He doesn't say Timothy and my's letter. He says my letter. And he also says in verse 18 of chapter 4, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Simply, Timothy's name was added along with Paul's to send his greetings to these Colossian believers. Now, with this in mind, before we continue, I want to share a little bit about Timothy for the rest of our time together, and I believe it will be helpful for us in understanding what we really need. You see, Scripture does give us a lot of information about Timothy, and he is mentioned here, and so it behooves us to understand what the Word of God says about Timothy. Well, we know Scripture reveals that he was a native of either Lystra or Derbe. These were little towns in the province of Galatia. His mother was a Jew by the name of Eunice, his grandmother Lois. His father was a Greek. Having not been circumcised until he journeyed with Paul was an indication probably that he was educated in Greek culture, Acts 16. We don't know exactly when he was saved, but we know from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that he was educated informally by his mother and grandmother, from whom he learned the truth concerning salvation from the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know that by the time he met Paul in Acts 16, he had already become a disciple and was such a proven young man that Paul wanted him to go with him. The Apostle Paul understood who was committed to Christ. There were times where Paul broke off from people who weren't faithfully following Christ. We see that with John Mark. Now, he got restored. Praise the Lord. But Timothy, Paul wanted him to go with him. He was a faithful young man. Now, I don't think we really understand how extensively Timothy was a part of the Apostle Paul's life. Paul speaks of him in Scripture as his son in the Lord, his son in the faith, his true child, his co-worker, fellow servant, fellow slave, as a brother, and here our brother. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He's saying he's not just my brother, he is our brother, Colossian believers. The term brother speaks of being literally from the same womb. That makes sense, right? And indeed, not all of us have brothers and sisters, but we understand, right? We understand we come from the same physical family. We understand that, right, of brothers and sisters. But it speaks of origin. But here it doesn't speak of physical origin. It speaks of spiritual origin. You see, you are either in the family of Satan. You're in Satan's domain because all of us are initially in that domain. He's our spiritual father. But when we get saved, we are delivered from the domain of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his beloved son. We become children of God and brothers and sisters of one another in the family of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. 1 John chapter 3. When we were born again through the living and abiding word of God, we became children of God. And so Paul is saying he's of the same origin. He's our brother. He's a believer. He's in the family. He's our brother in Christ. You know, it's really important that when we think of this, this tremendous reality of one another, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one body. Not that our physical families are not important. We honor them. We love them. But we as true believers, as evidenced by obedience to the Lord, have a greater family relationship. When the Lord Jesus said, hey, you've left families and houses and this, I'll give you greater even in this life and the life to come. Like, part of that is the family he gives us in Christ. Take Luke chapter 8, verse 20, and I'll read this to you. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. Jesus' mother and brothers are waiting out there, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. That's my mothers and brothers. That's my real family. That's my real family here. That's my mother and brother. We have entered into a higher relationship of brothers and sisters in Christ. And how blessed it is when your family is too. Praise the Lord for that. But we are in a higher relationship. Paul calls them our brother. And again, I don't think we know how extensive Timothy was in Paul's life, how close they were. He was associated with Paul in the writing of some of his epistles, such as 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, Timothy was there as well. He was with Paul in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and he is here with him in Rome as he writes this letter. He was such proven worth because he was willing to do anything Paul wanted him to do in the Lord. As we finish up here, turn to Philippians chapter 2. I want to share this. This is another prison epistle written in the same time period, but it's to the Philippian church. But we gain insight into the Timothy of the same time. The exact Timothy, he says, is saying his greetings. We gain insight. The same time period. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, but I hoped in the Lord Jesus, and there you go, it's the Lord's choice, to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. I hope to send Timothy. And notice what he says. He begins to explain, and this gives us great insight into this man. For I have no one else of kindred, or literally same soul, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. That's quite a statement. Timothy was same souled with Paul. In other words, he thought like Paul, he acted like Paul, he reacted like Paul. His desires were like those of Paul's. And folks, we know from Scripture, Paul thought, acted, and reacted like Christ. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He desired that the will of God would be done. And what ways were they the same-minded, same-souled in, biblically speaking? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When it comes down to it, their ways were about the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. It has to do with the truth of God functioning in the person of Paul, as we see here. And Timothy was same-souled. Isn't it wonderful when you come along someone who's same-souled? The word of God is working in their hearts, and there's just a unity in that. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful thing. Paul and Timothy were completely submitted to Christ and his will as revealed in the Scriptures. They had renewed minds, submitted to the word, and they were controlled by the Spirit. They were same-souled. Now notice, there's an incredibly revealing statement after this. Verse 20 of Philippians 2. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Whoa! This is Paul in Rome. He's got Timothy with him. He's going to send him to the Philippians. And he says, I have no one else, same-souled, like-minded, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. The term genuinely means, actually it's the word speaking of lawfully born from wedlock, legitimate birth. It speaks of genuineness. I got no real deal guys, no genuine people who would genuinely be concerned with your welfare. Timothy was the genuine article. Isn't that great? His behavior in Christ, as we will see, proved him to be legitimate. A lot of people talk about Christ. A lot of people say a lot of stuff about Jesus, but it is your behavior that will prove if you really are the real deal or not. It'll eventually show. Paul and Timothy emulated the chief shepherd. They had concern for the sheep. John 10, Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Paul and Timothy were like Christ. They were concerned for the sheep. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul would send, you can read this on your own, he would send Timothy to Thessalonica to see how they were doing in the faith. They were concerned that Satan would have tempted them. They got a good report back. Now, at this point, he says, I'm going to send Timothy shortly. You think, okay, he's going to send Timothy. We need to not overlook the significance of what Paul was asking Timothy to do. To leave Rome and to go to Philippi to check in. That is not an easy journey. We know from Paul getting to Rome it wasn't easy. Shipwrecks and all kinds of stuff. It's not an easy journey. He was asking him to do something that was an incredible sacrifice. It was an arduous task in the Lord. Paul was not simply asking Timothy to fill in on Sunday or to do the nursery or to do something. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord, do that. You know, nothing's insignificant, but this was an arduous task. And notice what he says. Verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit, of same soul, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. There's no one else who genuinely will sacrifice for the benefit of these believers, for their concern for them. Verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. That's a pretty telling statement. They're all continually seeking after their own things, literally. This is strong. Now, does this mean everybody ministering to him in the Roman church, everyone Paul had led in Caesar's household? All means all here. He's in Rome. But we need to remember Epaphroditus, in whom we'll talk about next time, talks about him here in Philippians. He has been sent. Luke and Aristarchus are not there. And so everyone's left except for Paul and Timothy. But there were some double-minded believers around there, true believers, but not concerned. How sad. So then, we have the tragedy that's in the church these days among believers, the setting of one's desires over those of Christ. And how many times have I seen it over the years where you ask someone to do something and it's too difficult for them? Their life is just too important. Their stuff is too important. Just really sad. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. How about you and those who will listen to this? Would this be said about you? Are you one who seeks after the things of Christ or the things of your own life and your own interest? Unfortunately, there was no one of wholehearted concern. But notice what it shares about this. It shares in contrast that Timothy was one who sought after the things of Christ Jesus. He did seek after them. We have two options as believers, our own interest or the interest of Christ. That's it. That's our options. And there's no way to stay focused on the interest of Christ if we're not continually feeding on the truth of the Word of God and His will through the Word. The Word prompts us to love Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, to fellowship with Him. The Word prompts us to obey our leaders, to love the brethren, to serve the brethren, to fellowship with them. The Word reveals the Lord's desire, the interests of Christ. It makes me think of Philippians 2. We see where to have this mind which was in Christ Jesus. This mind. He set aside his prerogative as God and took on human flesh, still being fully God. And he took on human flesh and he obeyed to the point of death, even death on a cross. Timothy and Paul were like that. They had the mind of Christ. So then we see that Timothy was single-minded, focused on Christ. Well, what else do we see? Look at verse 22. But you know of his proven worth that he served with me for the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Proven worth speaks of the process of testing to prove something genuine. Something proven genuine by testing. It's proven worth. You know his proven worth. He had demonstrated spiritual worth or demonstrated character. You know that. You know of his proven worth. You know, I would just ask you, Does your life prove your worth in Christ as a servant of Christ? Has that been demonstrated that others can see? Have you passed or failed the test? Are you faithful or unreliable? Passage that is convicting. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man regard us as servants of Christ in this manner, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. It's required of me to study and prepare and preach his word in season and out of season, and to rely on him and not myself, to abide in Christ. It's required. It's required of you in the way he has gifted you. It's required of you in your relationships to obey the Lord as he has revealed in his word. Are you faithful and reliable? And then lastly, notice Timothy was submissive. That's where we all get into temptation and trouble. So many rebels in the church. So many people that are not willing to submit to the Lord. But you know his proven worth, that he served me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. You know of his proven worth, that he served me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. It was manifest in how he served Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. The term said he literally slaved with Paul, douleo, how he slaved with me. Back in Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, doulos. And he says he did so obeying the Lord here, serving the Lord. Timothy was like a child serving his father. Timothy was submissive. The implication is submissiveness and obedience. When a child serves a parent, they're submitting and they're obeying. And this was to Paul. This was to those who were spiritually in authority over them, who were following Christ. Timothy was willingly pliable. Okay, he's going to go Rome to Philippi. Went Rome to Thessalonica. He's going where Paul wants him to go. Wasn't Rome, but on to Thessalonica. Brothers and sisters, if you are seeking the interests of Christ, then you will gladly submit to the authority God has placed in your life. If it's godly authority, you gladly submit. Timothy was faithful, proven worth, and he was submissive. So what do we really need? We need to understand how God has called us so that we can serve him day in and day out until he comes. And we need to serve him with a heart like Timothy, a heart that is focused on the things of Christ, submitting to the Lord, demonstrated, proven, serving for the glory of Christ. How do you stack up? Are you focused on things of Christ? How do you stack up? Do you know how God's called you to serve him? Well, start in the things that you know for sure. Serve in your marriage. Serve at work. Serve as you go into the world, obeying the Lord towards outsiders. Serve him. Start in the things that you know for sure. And then let the Lord open your heart and mind to the specifics in the body of Christ. Love. Seek to figure out how to love. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Serve one another. Serve in the context of how he has gifted you. Take a closer look at Paul and Timothy from the Word. Make a decision by the power of the Spirit to emulate them and walk as they follow Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, what are your final thoughts for us?
Well, Dave, in light of what we've seen today, how do we stack up? Are you single-minded on the things of Christ? Do you have a proven worth as a servant of Christ? Are you submitting to his will, serving him under the spiritual authority he's placed in your life? Brothers and sisters, it is our desire that you would be faithful servants of Christ Jesus and willingly and gladly submit to those the Lord has placed in your life, those who are leading you in the Lord, so that you would serve our Lord with a single heart and mind, and thus demonstrate that proven worth that only trusting Christ can bring forth.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.